It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
In this series, we continue our exploration of the Gospel of John to discover the answer to two crucial questions. Who is Jesus, and what difference does it make? What would it be like to watch Jesus perform a miracle? Let's presume that you're an unbiased observer. How would you react, and what difference would it make to you? John tells us about the first sign performed by Jesus and the difference it made for him and for others. The disciples were at a wedding feast with Jesus. The party was in full swing when the wine ran out. John tells us what happened next. John 2, verses 6 to 10. Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now, draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." Was this a miracle? Some people insist on debunking any kind of miracle. In this case, an example is those who argue that there must have been some grape residue in the jars. As water was poured out into the jars, it mixed with the alleged dregs and voila, wine. Not much difference from making a jug of Kool-Aid, I suppose. But this position ignores the evidence. It ignores what John wrote about those 6 stone water jars. They were there for the Jewish rites of purification, chapter 2, verse 6. Water put into those jars was to be used for ceremonially washing hands as well as for cleansing drinking utensils. Jewish requirements for purification were extremely strict. Those stone jars contained absolutely no contaminants. One point I will agree with is this, that turning water into wine is not, as such, a miracle. Let me explain. Years ago, our family lived across the street from a vineyard. After the vines were planted, years passed as they matured. The vines were supported, pruned, and watered. Water was sucked up through the roots into the vines and their branches. Eventually, heavy clusters of grapes hung from the branches. The grapes were harvested and crushed, the juice filtered and turned into wine. Through the processes of nature and human effort, over time, water was turned into wine on a regular basis. As such, that was not a miracle. But off in some corner or back room during this wedding celebration in Canaan, the sign, the miracle was this. Without the intervening processes of nature over time, water was turned into wine, excellent wine, instantly. The quantity of wine is also noteworthy. 20 to 30 gallons in each of 6 stone jars is about 150 gallons. Or about 568 liters. By volume, that's more than 8 full gas tanks for an average North American car. This is not a minuscule amount that might have been produced by some sleight-of-hand trick. It is a huge quantity. Did people know the source of this bountiful and excellent vintage? Some knew. Chapter 2, verse 9. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. We're not told more. But those servants who had responded to Jesus' direction knew where the wine had come from and how it had become wine. They had poured water into the jars and had drawn out the wine themselves. John does not use the term miracle when referring to this event. He calls it a sign. From John's perspective, a sign was not an occasion for astonishment or amazement. Thus, John writes that this is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Each of the 7 or 8 signs in John's gospel resulted in confession or worship, or in this case, belief. If you had been one of those servants in the back room or one of the disciples, what would you have responded? What difference does it make? Imagine that it was you who poured water into clean stone jars. You drew out wine from those jars a moment later. And after that experience, what would you have believed about Jesus? Would you have doubted your senses? Would you have tried to explain away what you had just seen or heard or smelled or perhaps tasted? Jesus' act of instantly turning water into wine gave unbiased observers a glimpse that Jesus controlled the processes of nature. That glimpse evoked belief in him, belief that he was the Christ, the Son of God, and through that belief, life in his name, John 20, verse 31. What about those who believe or don't believe today? One scholar, Randolph Tasker, writes, "The real significance of Jesus' action in turning water into wine at Canaan must always be hidden from those whose faith is not centered upon Christ crucified. The disciples alone, as the evangelist states at the conclusion of the narrative, chapter 2, verse 11, saw in what had happened a revelation of the glory of Jesus, and we may not unreasonably infer a further ground for believing in him as the Lamb of God destined to take away the sin of the world." So we hear a response to the question, who is Jesus? These unbiased observers and disciples would have said, God, the Creator, lives amongst us. And his name is Jesus.
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.